Primero Dios. It means God first in Spanish. And those were the two words that Madre Ana Maria would always tell us when we plan our day down in Guatemala. Before I joined the military, I had the opportunity to work with Midwestern State University Catholic Campus Center as we take college students down to Patzún, Guatemala for a mission trip each year. However, unlike other mission trips where a lot of people think that we need to go down there and change people or build something, we wanted to show the students how the people can teach us about their life of faith and how to be present to the people by loving them and by serving them, not just by building or giving them something. Madre Ana Maria lived through the Guatemalan Civil War. She had lost a lot, including one of the people she admired and loved in her life, Blessed Stanley Rother, a priest from Oklahoma who was martyred because he stood up for the flock. He stood up for what is right. He spoke out against injustice, and so the government murdered him. And after the murder of Father Stanley Rother, Madre Ana Maria had to fled the country in order to find safety in El Salvador. This wonderful nun had went through a lot, but yet she still trusts in God. So every day when we plan out our trip to go to the different villages, especially in the rural coffee plantation and mountainous area, she would always tell us, "This is our plan for today." But she would always close, "Pero Padre, primero Dios." But Father, God first. God first. This is the message I think all of the readings for today trying to teach us. Jesus, as he was trying to teach his disciples, aka us, what did the gospel reading begin? He looks at each and every one of us, his disciples, and said, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." We're already sons and daughters of God. We already inherited the kingdom that's been given and won over to us with the blood of Christ. Christ became one of us, lived like us in all things but sin, and chose to die for us. And through his blood, he had offered himself as expiation for our sin. We have been given a great gift to be children of God, disciples of Christ Jesus, and instruments of the Holy Spirit because of Christ's own love. And that's why, if you read the second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews, what did it say? Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. The life of faith motivates us to live out what we have banked, what we have hoped for, which is the faithfulness of Christ. Our hope is not wishy-washy, for our hope is real. Our hope is found in Christ Jesus, who has always been faithful, who has loved us until the end, who has given his everything. Therefore, our hope permeates our faith and motivates us to realize, to put into actions the foundation that we have in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, our faith motivates us to put God first. Are you and I putting God first? Or are you and I putting ourselves first? Are you and I putting God at our first, our end, our everything? Or are we so busy chasing after lesser things? The people down in Guatemala, especially the parts where we were able to visit. Only had the opportunity to go to Mass once a month. Some of them out in the rural and far area, maybe 3 or 4 times a year. So they yearn for the Eucharist, they yearn for the sacrament, they yearn for God. And the leaders, or the head catechist of each village, every Sunday would have to walk for miles, far distance, to the central church of all those missions, to go to Mass and to receive the Eucharist and bring the Eucharist back to the village so that they can hold communion services. They yearn for the Mass. They yearn for the Eucharist. Do we? Or have we taken our life of faith as a convenience, as a secondary or lesser choice? Oftentimes, when we get too busy, when we get tired, we begin to make excuse. Oh God, I love you. You know I do. But we really haven't made it our first priority. And we come to Mass always looking for something to complain about. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, the music. Oh, Father. Or, my neighbor. Oh, or this family. Oh, it's too noisy. Oh, it's this and that. We find every reason to complain because God is not our first. In the first reading, even the Book of Wisdom reminds us that your people, the people of faith, await the salvation of the just. We await, we yearn, we desire Christ. In the Eucharist, at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, in the life of prayer, how we worship. My brothers and sisters, talk is cheap. We need to put God first. We need to give God our best, not our leftover. Which leads me toward the second part of the homily itself. A few days ago, the Delta chaplain and I were having a talk, and he was asking me, why do I wear my cassis on Sunday? Because he's not Catholic, right? And I told him, I have learned that from my own grandparents' example. My grandmother and my grandfather only have 2 sets of nice clothes, but they would wear their best to Sunday, to Holy Days. Sometimes nowadays we roll out of bed and we put something on, or we make the life of faith our secondary choices. Do we give God our best? To be honest with you, I'm sweating like a pig underneath all of my vestments, my cassis, my white shirt, my undershirt, and everything else. But my grandparents have taught me to wear my best, to give God my best. When we were down in Guatemala, people too were very poor. Some of them don't even have sandals to wear. Some of them come to church bare feet. But they always wear their best, because they want to offer to God their best. And I would remember, every village that we have the opportunity to go to, the line for confessions would be so, so long. And I would sit for hours listening to confession so that people could be worthy of receiving the Eucharist, to reconcile themselves with God so that they can receive Him with everything they got. People also welcome us with love, with kindness, and they welcome us into their home, sometimes with mud walls, sometimes not even up to any basic American standards of living, but they made their home the best to welcome us. That's hospitality. That's generosity. That's love. My brothers and sisters, over and over again, I have been humbled by how generous the poor people have been. They have taught me more than I have given to them. I might be giving them the Eucharist and to reconcile them with God through the sacrament, but they have taught me what it means to put God first, to love with Him with all our hearts. So today, I ask you the same thing. Do you put God first in your life? Do you choose God first? Or are you busy running, chasing, worrying, and complaining about other things? And I'll end my homily today. It must be God's providence. When Father Daniel and I talked just yesterday, when we were talking about the plans that we are doing for each of our community, for myself, for the Catholic community at the base, for him, the local civilian parish. We ended in Spanish, and guess what we both said to each other? Primero Dios. God first. I hope, I pray, and I invite you to always put God first. Primero Dios.